Dear Jesus, we need Thee. Every hour we need You. So Lord, may You envelop, engulf us, right? We're sitting waiting on what You have for us today. And we might not understand, but Lord, You teach us. And You are faithful. You are a faithful Father. And we can be Your children. Behold what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we can be called the children of God. That will never change. I pray for those children that probably left here and met You the other day in Kabul, trusting in the fact that You were their Savior. And Lord, I can never imagine that. I'd fight anybody if they went to mess with Jimmy and their little kids, probably his age, running for their lives. So Lord, I pray for them. So while we're safe and sound in our church today, Lord, may we not ever take that for granted. And Jesus, now minister to us so we can be a blessing to others. Lord, help us understand Your word and just make it so clear we'll walk out of here changed. In Jesus' name, amen. I need some help every once in a while understanding why, God, You make things tough. And God says, I know, I help you, so this is not even, I can make this my message, but I read a devotion in the Book of Mysteries by Jonathan Kahn, and I read this the other day, and I thought, I got to share this with my LifePoint family. The Soldiers of Darkness and Light, the stories come from this. It's like a teacher and a student, and he takes him out in the desert and high on a hill and under trees and in a cave, and he just teaches him all about what God wants us to know. He led me across a large valley and toward a mountain on its other side. Imagine, said the teacher, you had to make your way across this valley to get to that mountain as fast as you could. But the valley is filled with soldiers, half of them dressed in white and half in black. And as you try to make your way across the valley, you discover the soldiers in white are there to help you across and to get you to the mountain as quickly as possible. But you soon discover that the soldiers in black are there for the opposite purpose. They battle the soldiers in white, resisting every step of advance. Finally, after a long and arduous battle, you make it across to the base of the mountain on the other side, but then you get a surprise. The battle is over, but it is then that you notice a strange thing. The soldiers in black begin removing their outer garments to reveal garments of white underneath. The soldiers in black are really soldiers in white. The soldiers were all on the same side. And the ultimate goal wasn't to bring you to the other side as fast as possible, but to get you there at the exact right time God wants. And for that to happen, both the soldiers in white and the soldiers in black had to fulfill their mission. And though it looked like war, both sides are actually working together for your good. So then, which side was against you? Neither, I said. Both were battling for my benefit. Exactly. And so it is written in the book of Romans that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. So if you love God and belong to Him, He will work all things in your life together for good. The good and the evil, the beautiful and the ugly, the joyous and the sorrowful, the problems and the triumphs, all for your blessing and good. Now if both the good and bad are working for your good, then in the end, was there any bad? No. If even the bad is working for my good, then it's ultimately good. And so for the child of God, for you, there are only two realities, blessings and blessings in disguise. Ooh, does that step on your toes? It does me. God, why do You put that student in my class that needs some extra help? Because he must feel that I can give it to him. Wow. Well, I pray that you're here today to hear from God under the big top. We got a current series. I called Uncle Paul the ringmaster when I was at camp, and I guess I'm the lion tamer with Gray there. When you think of Under the Big Top, what comes to mind? Well, you got a crowd that watches, but then we got to make room for other people. We bring in the clowns and the ring show, and we even have fun planned for all ages. Whether it's a lion tamer that's getting a good licking and keeps on ticking. Oh, yeah. Or else the tent of meeting that we gather like Moses was in. We are here today. We're in that crowd and we're going to say, God, what are You going to teach me? Well, here's what today, let's start with the biggest animal that the circus has to perform. That would be, no doubt, what? I guess that must be the elephant. And there he is. Now that elephant can look like a big guy at times. So when you're here today and you think, okay, the elephant, what are you going to teach us with the elephant? I'm going to show you this. There's a baby. Yeah, he's a baby elephant. When that baby elephant is born, and some people don't like the circus, that's why the circus is no more, because they thought it was cruelty to animals, and maybe sometimes it was. But they said when a little baby is born, that at times it grows up, they let it go for a while, but if somebody wants to train him, they will sometimes put something around his foot and a rope, if you will. They will sort of put that through his leg and tie him up. And when he pulls on it, he can't get away. As he gets older, obviously he could, if he wanted to pull on that, he could tear that post, that building out of the ground and keep going. But the trouble is, this is us right here, Trail, this will preach. Are you ready? The devil ties a rope around us sometimes, and then we think that we can't do much. And then even though we have the power of God at our disposal, we buy into the lie like that elephant. Why don't you pull away? Well, I've never been able to pull away, so I don't guess I can now. Could he? Absolutely. But he's grew up thinking, I can't, so I can't develop into a lifestyle. Oh. So the devil says, hey, you can't do that. And we believe him. That little elephant, if he wanted to, he believes he can for a while, but the rope holds him back. But then once he grows older, he could rip that building out of the ground. But hey, I've never been, so a little old tiny rope that we might even be able to snap holds an elephant into place. It works the same thing, an invisible fence for a dog. You know, you turn that fence on, the dog, okay, that didn't feel good. And then it's every time he goes into that, and then after a while, it's not even on, he could walk right through there. No. Because every time I try it, I get hurt, and I'm not going to do it anymore. Devil does the same thing to us. So if I said, here, you want to do this? Nope, I've tried. You want to read your Bible every day? No, I tried that years ago. It didn't work in. It's not going to work now. So you bought into the lie. Come on now. Well, I've never been able to. Why should that change? If a man be in Christ, he is a new creature, or changed. Old things become new, and the old passes away. Moses, people who wanted to stay in slavery and people who wanted to be set free. That elephant, I'll just stay in slavery. It's the way it's always been. Bible tells us that there are some people in the Bible that bought into that lie too. Pharaoh approached the Israelites, looked up, saw the Egyptians marching after him. Now Moses is about to, through God's power, part this Red Sea, take them across. And then they said to Moses, these guys, hey, we love you, Moses. Help us escape Egypt. Hey, we love you. And this is great. We get up to the Red Sea. Here comes Pharaoh. Hey, Moses, what's the deal? Was it because there's no graves in Egypt that you brought us out in the wilderness to die? In other words, why didn't you just leave it Okies back? And, you know, we had funeral homes and death and grave back. What'd you bring us out here for? Oh, so you want to be enslaved? At least we'd be alive. Did we not say to you in Egypt, leave us alone so that we may serve the Egyptians? You want to be a slave? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. Perry, what's he really saying right there? I would rather be an alive slave than a what? A dead, free person. Really? On the 15th day, the second month, they had left the land of Egypt. The whole congregation of Israel set out for Elam. Came to the desert of Sin, interesting name, which is between Elam and oh, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt. There we sat by pots of meat. Did they? Yeah. No, it's funny how memories change. I could run I could run a 4-minute mile high school. Really? What motorcycle were you on? Because I don't remember you ever running a 4-minute mile. Oh, we had pots of meat, ate our fill of bread, but you've brought us out in this desert just to starve us to death. Well, I guess the elephant, can you imagine driving by, an elephant's got this little rope, he weighs 2 tons, he could rip that post out, and right beside him, a bunch of Israelites waving at us as we go by. We'll just stay chained all our life. I tell you what, they would have never believed in this guy from history. That is Mr. Patrick Henry. What'd he say? Give me what? Give me liberty or give me death. I'll die being free. I don't think you're going to see a rope tied around Patrick Henry's leg anytime soon. I'll either be free or I'll die trying. So that little fella right there, just think if he knew what you now know. So we tie a little rope around him and can't go. Just wait till I get big. And then he grows strong, and then, hey, you people from a circus, oh, there comes the tent on. Don't ever tie me up again. I'll run over you. He could do that, and you can too. So let's take the rope off today. Let's look at some people who were set free and no longer slaves. They got that rope off of them. Want to be set free today? I'll give you a couple of examples. These are people of purple, black, blue. Purple, black, blue. Seller of purple. Lydia was in the Bible. She's originally from Thyatira, living in the Philippi region. She met Paul on his second missionary journey. She was a seller of purple, which Thyatira was famous for being a center of indigo trade. Lydia apparently had moved to Philippi to apply her trade in that city. Archaeologists have found, among the ruins of Thyatira, inscriptions relating to dyers' guild in the city. It is possible that Lydia was a member of this guild, but there's no evidence in the Bible. But so this woman named Lydia was poor or rich, Chris? What do you think? Yeah, she's very wealthy. Now, let's connect this to the circus. Becky, where would she be in the circus? That's a tough question. I'm just throwing it at Becky. I'll ask anybody. We're thinking of the circus. How could Lydia help you? I show up in town. I want a Lydia on my side. So what would Lydia help me to do? So what do you think? I need her money. Yeah. Can you be our... I'm going to keep on the... Yes, she's the bankroll that I need, but I'm going to say, welcome to the circus, sponsored by Lydia. And Lydia comes out, and you never see her again, and Lydia goes on off stage. But I tell you what, without Lydia, yeah, this circus is dead in the water. We've got to have Lydia's on our side. So Lydia comes up and says, okay, I tell you what, Romans 16, from Troas we put out to sea, sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day we went to Neapolis, and from there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony in the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We've been talking about prayer a lot today. Let's go find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. Got two things that grabbed my attention. You say, make personal applications. Okay, I will. Notice they did not go to the synagogue. They went out to find a place of prayer. And they sat down by the river. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. We think of purple being majesty, royalty. This would be sort of like the S&K suit guy. I got a friend, Randy Womack. He was one of my seventh graders at Roanoke Valley a long time ago. Randy makes suits now. If you call him, guess what he'll do? He'll come to your office with a tape measure. He'll measure you, and he'll give you a what kind of suit? That's tailored-made suit. That's not going to be $29.95 at Walmart. Yeah, we're probably going to sell $600-$700 for that suit. Lydia makes those kind of things. She was a worshiper of God. Now, right there is a little bit confusing. One of those listening was one from Thyatira, Lydia. She was a worshiper of God. You say, well, was she saved? Well, keep reading, because I get the feeling maybe she was just showing up. I'm not sure, but she had it nailed down for too long. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. So I'm not sure whether she was already saved and then she opened up her heart to become more involved, or whether she didn't even know God. You say, well, she was going to church. Oh, so everybody goes to church is saved? Let's go to 22,000 member Thomas Road up in Lynchburg. Everybody walks in that place is saved? Ain't no way. No, yeah, they go because of Jonathan. They go, oh, we're going to the biggest church in Lynchburg. You got people down First Baptist today. They sneak in after the service starts and they sneak out before it ends. You know, they just, I went to church. Yeah, for what, 20 minutes? Try that at work tomorrow and let me know how that works. You know? 7 to 3. I'm here at 9:30. Oh, coffee break time. All right. Yeah, and then about 2 o'clock, you wander off. Yeah, that's not going to work too well. I'm not sure. So I don't think I don't even know if she knew Jesus. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. For whatever reason, she's nailed it down. God opened up her heart, responded. And she said, if you consider me a believer in the Lord now, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. She said, she felt so compelled to do something. I got to do something. Paul, why don't you come and I'll support you? Paul looks at the rest. I don't know. No, please. Please, I want to help your work. If Paul's a missionary, guess what she wants to do? She wants to sponsor him. We do that for three missionaries. We sponsor someone in Zimbabwe, Steve Love and his family, and they've been here before. We do that with Peter Madodo in Africa, Kenya, there. And then we do it for Uncle Paul down at camp. We want to sponsor him. So here she is, beautiful woman with that outfit alone. That's not something you buy off the rack. Okay, so she's wealthy, and she's our sponsor. Do we need other people for the circus? This is the sad part. The circus has trapeze artists. We've talked about them. They have the strong man, and they have one or two acts there at the circus that you almost would feel sorry for them now, but before we became compassionate like Jesus wants us, we might have even made fun of them. Who are they? You know, the bearded lady, the freak show, three-headed, whatever, you know, and we come by and laugh at them. I've got to show you this movie. Of course, spoiler alert, but it's only about 25 minutes. We ought to watch that one. We watched this at camp when we were down there talking about the greatest show on earth. They made it appear like a circus, and this circus was a bad circus, and they sort of made fun of everybody. A good guy comes along and his circus is more, actually the people in his circus were what the world would call losers. And this guy comes out and he short has no arms, basically no legs, got a little flipper right here for a foot. And everybody comes by and laughs at him like a freak. I thought, I know who this is. That's Nick Bolachek, if you've ever heard of him. And so he was starring in this movie. So Nick come out and he is the freak show of the circus. Trouble is, he dives into the water, swims over to the side, and so actually God's got merit for him. By the way, Nick's married and has children. So the world would like, look at that guy. God had plans for Nick Bolachek. So I like it that God can change the world of a predictor of the future. This is going to be those that predict the future, or the freaks that you said, or the people that the world would make fun of. I'm going to call her Sylvia, the Bible does it. One day as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl, place of prayer. Met a slave girl. She's the elephant with her foot tied, and she's been in that condition for a long time, who had a spirit of divination, brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune-telling. When she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, these men are slaves of the Most High God, who proclaim to you a way of salvation. By the way, if I'm going to be a slave, let me be a slave of Jesus. She kept doing this for many days. Paul was actually annoyed at her. Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. They later, they're going to beat them and throw them in jail. Remember the little devotion I read to you that all things, Romans 8:28, all things work to the good? Why does God allow them to talk to Sylvia and win her to Jesus? To save her soul. She is enslaved to, she's got a demon living in her. But then he even works good things. And if you didn't know, you could say, well, we helped Sylvia come to Jesus. And now, I call her Sylvia, the slave girl. Now we get thrown in jail. God says, I'm not through with you yet. He's even going to use them in jail for something. That was ordained of God? Absolutely. And if you weren't strong in the faith, you'd say, thanks a lot. I'm a good witness, and look what I get done. I get fired from my job, or I get this, or people hate me now. Sylvia is worth saving. Paul comes up. He calls the demon to come out of her. When I read this story, I used to read this and say, why did Paul become annoyed with her? Chris, what do you think? I mean, she's actually saying, these men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation. You say, well, it sounds like she's doing okay. Why'd Paul become annoyed with her? She's in the way, really. Well, she's telling truth. She's demon-possessed. Who's in control of the demons? Satan. This is Satan basically trying to mock us. And so Paul says, I'm going to put an end to this. We don't need you telling about, we'll tell about God. And besides that, then he cast the demon out of her. Paul was very much annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, what spirit? A demonic spirit. I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. You have no right to talk about God anyway. Wow. So this woman called, she's annoying Paul, probably drawing a crowd. Matter of fact, if people, if she's a freak show, Becky, if they're going to laugh at her for being a freak or making fun of, would they believe Paul? No. Got this freak sideshow coming up behind it, and she screams, and pretty soon they're not even hearing Paul. It's like Barney on Andy Griffith when they talk about the Mayberry Band member. Andy stands up to talk, and Barney clangs cymbals in the background, and it's like, gosh, I'm helping quiet everybody. No, you're really drawing more attention to yourself, and now people can't even hear me. So, Sylvia, it's time for you to be quiet. Now, she's what we might call fortune teller or the freak or the people, oh, look at her, and they laugh and come out of there. We got one more. Let's turn to the book of Acts, see these three folks. If you want to, I'm going to read it right off the screen for you too. I'm going to call him Blue Collar Joe. He's the jailer. Paul and them get trouble for winning Sylvia to Jesus. They get thrown in jail. Most people would gripe at this. I would and think, hey, hot dog, thanks a lot. About midnight. That always gives me hope because I'm up at about that time. I mean, I'm glad I'm not the only one. Chapter 16, verse 25. Here's how it reads. They have went all over the place. They have got funding from Lydia, a sponsor. They have helped get rid of the people that somebody that would have been called a freak show. She's not anymore. She's a follower of Jesus. So, Acts chapter 16, Lydia is conversioned in Philippi. Paul and Silas are now in prison. They went down to the place of prayer. They turned, they helped Lydia find Christ. And when the owners of the slave girls realized their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews, and they are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." Verse 22, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them stripped and beaten, and after they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. We read a quick verse in the Bible and we don't stop to really think it. And I've read this story lots of times in my life, but you got to go back. What's the inner cell? They would have had to go through several doors to get out of this jail. What about the feet in stocks? You see this as a joke sometimes. Your hands are up here and your feet are down there and we all laugh and people might throw tomatoes at you. And no, I think they're distorted. I mean, their arms twisted back and in a certain place. These guys are not comfortable. And so they're twisted, they're in the stocks, yeah, hog-tied, it's like you'd do a piece of cattle, and in the middle of that, what are they doing? About midnight, Paul and Silas are praying and singing hymns. That convicts me. Next time a guy cuts you off in traffic, what are you going to do? Or did you just tell him, "Yeah!" Okay, which one? Which one's devil, which one's Jesus? If you're given a tough assignment, I got to tell that to Andy sometimes. You say, "Well, Andy's got it made. He's a chaplain." Andy told me he was in a meeting one day. He probably wouldn't want me telling you, so don't tell him I told you. But Andy was in a meeting one day, and the wing chaplain, he's the higher-up guys, and he was going over some information and this and that. And Andy told me, he said, "I thought I'd pull an Edgar Moser on him." I pray at the weirdest times. I've talked to Curtis Hicks. He's assistant superintendent of Salem. I was in his office for about an hour and a half discussing things. And I got ready to leave, and I turned around and I said, "Let's pray real quick." I met with him twice and prayed both times. He allowed me to pray. He didn't say, "I don't want to hear it." I coached football at Craig County, and I got in trouble up there. Imagine that. And I had a meeting with the head coach, and he comes over and says, how come this and that way? I said, I feel tension in the room. And I like to be calm, so I said, why don't we pray real quick? What am I supposed to do? I said, most people just bow their head, so if you want to do that. So we prayed in there with the coaches, and he probably looks at me like, you're crazy. But they didn't stop me. Andy told me he was in a meeting one day, and here's the wing chaplain, and tension was up. He said, I thought I'd pull an Edgar Moser and say, let's just pray. And the wing chaplain says, this is a meeting. There's a time and place for prayer, and this is not it. Okay? Wow, you're a chaplain. When that told me, it sort of broke my heart, and I think, golly. I'd be like, Pastor, can we pray? I don't have time. Sorry. If I ever do that, you correct me, okay? You have my full permission. I better always take time to pray. You're the head wing chaplain? Let's just stick to the meeting. Wow. That hurts Andy's feelings. Hey, if any of us ought to pray, let's pray. I think, Andy, he is your subordinate. All right, you got to be subordinate to him. He is your commanding officer. Well, let's pray that he retires. He's getting older. I think he's crotchety, you know. Is that on tape there? Just edit that out. No, I just think you get old. You know how that is. You ever work with people that miss their chance to leave? Yeah. Y'all need to do this. You have forgotten what it's like to be one of us. I don't care. Okay. But I got to pray for Andy to have strength to put up with people like it. And he's trying to do the right thing. And like, here, let's take out the book of regulations. How about let's take out this book? I've never found a bad time to saturate yourself with prayer or get something from here. I'm glad I can do that where I am now. First Thessalonians, but first, the guy just thought, we're in a meeting, let's really not get sidetracked. I'm trying to understand where it is, but still, something just bothers me with that, you know. So let's pray. Get in trouble for praying. So Paul's in there praying. I got to remind Andy, you got to pray. Sing hymns. So they're in there twisted up in a knot over in the corner. He's a good father. Wow, how can you do that? If I'm in that place, I would probably even get, Paul, give it a rest, man. And I'm convicted. Suddenly there was a violent earthquake. I love that right there, because who brought that earthquake? Yeah, God Almighty did that. Sometimes you need God to act to get you out of what the situation you're in. I can't. I'll pray for you, but you need God to move. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake and the foundations of the prison were shaken. I love that verse and see, you said, gosh, you read a lot into it. I'm just reading that there was a violent earthquake by God. What shook the foundations? Because who's the real foundation? God will shake your foundation of yours because your foundation is not Him. Oh, is that what you do? At once all the prison doors flew open. Isn't that odd too? Everyone's chains came loose. Let's see. Can you imagine, Lord, we need you to do a miracle. I need the door open and the chains off. Okay, you're not asking a lot. By the way, what did I say the elephant is held down by? A little rope. Sometimes it was a chain. Do you realize what left just now? These are the elephants that have been, can't go out the door, God's about ready to break chains. I mean, that just thrills me. If I think of that long enough, it causes me to tear up. When did He break your chain? When did He break your rope? When did He tear that off and you started saying, I don't have to be a slave anymore? I don't know what age you were. I don't know when it occurred, but you better remember it. God took the rope off your foot and says, you're not a slave anymore. The man come in and he was so desperate. And Andy said, there's airmen out there that have done that in the last few years, taking their own life. This man's about to do the same. He's about to commit suicide. Paul said, don't. We are all here, not just me and Silas, all of us here. I don't think the rest of the people in prison were like Paul and Silas, but maybe they prayed and maybe they sang hymns and maybe everybody there started thinking godly, you know what? Their song, their prayer is starting to get to me. The jailer called for the lights, rushed in, fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and served. Wow, this stuff is just, in my language it's this. This is too I don't know, I can't believe this. I want what they've got. What do I need to do to be saved? And Paul says, well, you got to go get baptized, start going to Sunday school, tithe, dress up. No, he didn't. Believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus. You'll be saved, you and your household. That they spoke the word. I think they explained the gospel to him right there and to all the others in his house. And at that hour, what hour is this again? Midnight. Isn't that cool? You picture people, don't bother them, they're late. We can't talk about Jesus. I don't care if it's midnight. Paul's out there just... At that hour of night, the jailer took them, washed their wounds, shows... I am again reading in... Who may have caused their wounds? Who may have whipped them a couple hours ago? And as he's sitting there wiping the wounds, tears running down his face, probably, I'm sorry. Paul says, it's okay. I'll get beat every day of the week if somebody gets to go to heaven. And you're going to heaven. I'm still sorry. It's okay. Ow! Ooh! That's sort of deep back here. I know. Sorry. The man who whipped him has now washed him. Immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house, set a meal before them. Well, let me see. I can get you out of prison. I clean you. I wash you. Let me feed you. Because he was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God. He has got an instant change. By the way, if it's midnight, what shift is this guy working? It's probably the graveyard shift. Comes home, opens up a door. His wife in there, curlers in her hair, bathrobe, drinking coffee. And he comes in and says, honey, I've brought some folks with me. Would you be? Man, that's a whole crowd. What'd you do? I got some friends. Do you mind if I have them for breakfast? I guess not. They're in their living room now. But what happened last night? You better sit down. I got saved last night. Little kids come out in the door. Daddy, what are you doing? Come here. Hugs him for the first time, like he should. Here's Paul. And Barnabas, or Silas, you know, wow. Little kids just, we got Daddy back. Daddy, you haven't cussed since you've been home this morning. What's the deal? Trying to change. God's going to help me. I'm going to be a better daddy. I'm going to be a better husband. I'm going to, ooh. And he looks at his wife and says, can I talk to you a second? She comes over here. And he says, almost ended it all about an hour ago. And she looks like, what? But God stopped me and God saved me. Philippian jailer was a common man, everyday, blue-collar Joe. I think he helped them set up a tent when they showed up for the circus. He's out there holding a spike and hitting it. And so without Lydia, we don't have a show. Without the freak show that shows up, but yet now she's saved. And without blue-collar Joe pulling on the ropes and tightening it, there is no tent that goes up. So how many did we need to set up this circus? I think all of them. So just think of where these guys went to church. That is the picture of Philippi today, and that was the church at Philippi. That's where Paul wrote to the Philippian church. You guessed it. And just think some of the members of that church. Let's just pretend. Go back with me. We walk in to the church at Philippi. And the pastor says, turn and greet those around you. And Jennifer, you turn, and there's your Lydia. She's dressed in purple. What, give it away? Oh, man. And then, let me introduce you, and here comes Sylvia. You're the slave girl. Used to be. And then here's Blue Collar Joe taking up offering. Blue Collar Joe, can I see you? Yeah, let me set this down. What's it? Just introducing the church family. They all go to church in Philippi. The first Christian church in Europe is that one. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And
Yeah. Well, you want to be nice, but I agree with you. And please don't misunderstand. Perry's not being mean. I'm not. Well, I mean, yeah, just because you go. And Perry's not being mean. I wouldn't be either. I used to go to Fellowship a couple years before we ever planted Life Point. They have so many services. I turned around and I thought, I'm going to turn around and shake people and say, hey, I hadn't seen you before. That turned out to be one of the deacons, I think. I'm treating him like a visitor. Why? I've never met him. So, I mean, when you can get lost in a crowd, and I'm not saying don't misunderstand me. We need Thomas Road in Lynchburg. We need Fellowship in Salem. They reach people that I can't. And I mean, you go where God wants you to go. I just think I have a family here. Not a corporation. I got a family. So. That's what a big church sometimes means. That's why they have life groups. They're trying to connect you. But I agree, I'm partial to this. I mean, they know you by name. Lydia was notable as the first European to be baptized. Lydia is the first member of Church of Philippi there. I would love to go to that church, wouldn't you? That'd be a cool place to be. Got a final, I'm going to wrap up here. Does anybody know what that is? That is the Royal Standard. And I'm going to step on your toes here because I step on mine. See, God steps on mine, I get to turn around and step on yours. This is convicting to me as I walk into Roanoke Valley Christian Schools, as you go into any of your jobs or whatever you are. This is a royal standard. They will fly this whenever the Queen is in residence. So when people come by, they go, oh, Queen's home. They can tell the Queen is there. If the Queen's not there, then they fly this, like normal, Union Jack. But to go back and mention this one, they only fly that. Now, she's the Queen, I understand. Let me change that in just a minute. Instead of Queen, I'm going to say King. They only fly this when the King's home. I got a question for you. Which flag do you fly out of your heart? Does the King live there? Then fly this. And don't be ashamed of it. It's the royal standard. I can tell there's something different about you. There is. Don't you dare fly the Union Jack. I mean, King's not here. Fly the royal standard. So when people walk by, they say, there's royalty at home, isn't it? Well, absolutely. I got the King of Kings living right here. Now I know once Jesus enters my heart, he never leaves. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But on certain days, I feel I fly the Union Jack. Do you? You got to quit doing it. Because that's the day that people might look at me and say, take the Union Jack down, put that thing away, burn it, whatever you want. Let's fly this and be proud that we're flying the royal standard. And they'll come by and say, oh, the King, King's at home, isn't he? Absolutely. King's in my heart. He's in residence. He's enjoying me and I'm enjoying him. So are you ready to be set free? Jesus can do that. I think this is us with the elephant illustration again. We're saying, God, would you please just set me free? And look carefully at this picture. The door's open, and you still sit there. Door's open. I would hope that you would want to be set free. So you got to quit believing that rope. It's only a little sin. It won't hurt you. One time won't hurt. No one ever knows. It's no big deal. Everyone does it. God won't forgive you anyway. Just be quiet. Keep things secret. It doesn't really matter. It's not that important. All those things come from the Father of lies. Sin will always take you further than you wanted to go, keep you longer than you wanted to stay, and cost you more than you ever thought it would. And those words, this is what the devil tells you. I have got to get rid of him. And I've got to get the rope off my foot or the chain off my foot, rededicate my life. If you know Jesus, rededication. If you don't, invite Jesus into your heart and you can be like Sylvia the slave girl or Blue Collar Joe or Lydia. And then you better fly that royal standard and be and represent it well. So, my challenge, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that today I'm asking for revival to break out at Life Point, and it begins with each of us. So in the still quiet of the moment, I want you to please do surgery on all of us and find the sin that's in our hearts that we don't want to talk about and cut it out. And sometimes, just as when we pull a splinter out, the deeper we go, it hurts, but we'll be glad it's out. I pray that you'd help us to confess the sin that's in our hearts that nobody knows about but us and you. The things that we've said, the things we've done, things we've thought. It only takes one sin to make us a sinner. James says, if we sin in one point, we're guilty of the whole law. And I'm so grateful for the verse, if we confess our sins, that is to agree with you, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Though our sins be as scarlet, they'll be as snow, they'll be as crimson, they'll be as wool, you can wash us clean. So Lord, today I ask you to help us be serious about following you. They had a life change for Lydia and Sylvia and Blue Collar Joe. Their whole church at Philippi was filled with believers, it seems. They just kept flocking to that church. Make our church that way. Make us strong and inviting to those that need you. And help us to be strong that are already here and fly that royal standard and not be ashamed that the King lives here. And he's at home. So Jesus, today, speaking as you always do, thanks for these stories. That we all work together as a family. We need a sponsor for the circus, so to speak. We need those people that have special talents to take part in what we do. And Lord, little things mean a lot in your eyes. Little as much when God is in it. So thank you for bringing together us together today and our family here. Thank you for the kids that Jenny gets to teach. And I pray when they grow up, they'll know you. And I pray, Lord, as we say so long today, whether it's to Jeremiah, who's spending his last Sunday with us, but you remind him, Lord, I pray for a good church home. He's a fine young man. I pray that you'd bless him, help him to grow up in the admonition of you. So, Lord, send him on his way with your blessing. And I thank you that he's here today, and I pray again for the kids that learn, for us to be drawn to you. And, Lord, whatever you want us to do, may we fly the royal standard and say yes, sir, and do what you ask. In Jesus' name, amen.